Now we're going to turn to a very different kind of baker with a very different aesthetic. Andrew Fuller also learned to bake when he grew up in Des Moines, but he's taken his skills to new heights of cake and pie sculpture. He bakes as Guy Meets Cake and a new collaboration that's just getting underway called Sugar Freak Show. He's gotten a lot of attention for his anatomically correct heart cakes and his murder pies, and he is here with me now. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Charity. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I've mentioned that anatomically correct cake a number of times, so I would love for you to describe it for me.
It's a lot like what it sounds like. The greatest thing about that cake is I decided to release that for Valentine's Day, because sometimes a lot of people have, not the best feelings about Valentine's Day, especially if they're single, or some people just don't want to give the people around them flowers and candies and something sugary sweet. And I felt like it'd be fun to give people an option to serve their heart up on a platter, literally. So I decided to make an anatomically correct heart that bleeds when you cut into it.
There's the detail I hadn't mentioned. So you cut into it, and what happens?
Yeah, so it's actually quite an orchestrated event to make that happen, because in order to have it bleed, it has to have a liquid center, but you can't just put a liquid center in a cake, because it'll just seep into the cake and you'll have a very soggy cake. So you have to kind of create a shell on the inside, and an edible shell, which I did with chocolate. But then it's filled with a raspberry coulis that I made from pureed raspberries. And when you cut into the cake, it seeps out the delicious blood.
And how much experimentation did you have to do to get it to work the way that you wanted it to work?
I would love to act like it was my a one-shot thing, but yeah, it was a lot of trial and error. It was pretty quick that I discovered that you can't just put a liquid center inside a cake. That in itself was a challenge to overcome. And then the consistency of the blood itself, if it's too thick, it's not going to ooze out, and then the whole theatric of the whole thing kind of fizzles. So
right. Well, and it's not like you can just make a lava cake, because this is something you want to sell to someone that they can hold on to and serve when they want to serve it. That's not going to be fresh out of the oven, right?
Exactly. And whether they serve it at room temperature or chilled, there's a lot of things that go into it. But it turned out and they looked great.
Wow. Yeah, I have looked at your Facebook page, Guy Meets Cake, so I've seen the oozing
I
in
love
action.
Hearing that.
That's Well, let's go back before the anatomically correct cake that looks
sure.
incredibly realistic. I mean, when you were growing up, and we just tweeted a link to that on our Twitter feed as well, so you can also see that cake in action. But when you were growing up, when did you learn to bake?
Well, it's funny. I wonder if it's like an Iowa thing, because I was enjoying listening to Luke talk. And we have a lot of things in common, believe it or not, even though we're on totally different ends of the spectrum with the aesthetics of things. I was kind of a weird little kid who didn't really want to go outside and play baseball with the other kids and things like that. And I had a great grandma who definitely kind of took me under her wing. And during the summers or cold winter days, she would bake with me. And that's kind of where I learned how to start the whole baking thing as well, as a child with my grandma.
So a lot of the traditional things. Do you remember your favorite thing to bake with your great-grandma?
You know, honestly, things like griddle cakes and just like the comforting things, like she would do weird things like I think she felt like I wouldn't like my tomatoes to have peels on them. So she would boil the tomatoes first and take the skins off of them and then slice them up for me and put salt on them and things like that. And so really it was just the being in the kitchen with my grandma that kind of put that whole culinary thing in me. But it just little simple comfortable things like her tomatoes and her griddle cakes and old-fashioned stuff. She would put corn syrup on her pancakes.
My father-in-law does that. So, well, we are actually going to take a short break, Andrew.
Sure.
But we'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk how you went from griddle cakes and peeled tomatoes to making really incredible cake and pie sculpture that looks very realistic and often terrifying. Andrew Fuller is with me. He is the man behind Guy Meets Cake. He's also part of a new collaboration that's just getting underway called Sugar Freak Show. And we'll talk more about what he's baking and his Halloween lifestyle in just a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. And with me now is Andrew Fuller. He is the man behind Guy Meets Cake and also a new collaboration called Sugar Freak Show. He bakes in Des Moines and he makes some really remarkable creations. We've been talking about his anatomically correct heart cakes. We'll talk in a few minutes about his murder pies. But right now we're still working on that origin story. So, Andrew, we were talking about how you learned to cook and bake from your great-grandma, but you're really a self-taught cake sculptor. Can you tell me when you started making things that were a little more complicated and tried to create some realistic-looking cakes?
Yeah, so definitely School of Hard Knocks for me, YouTube University certainly helped too, so I have to give my credit to that. But it's only been a couple of years for me. I started in, I think it was 2016. I actually just made a cake. My husband and I were going on a trip around Europe. And so for his birthday, I wanted to, I thought, you know, I watched those Food Network shows and I'm like, I bet I could do that. I'm going to try it out. Just had no idea how complicated the whole entire process of making a structured sculpted cake is. And but I did it anyway. So I made him a cake for his birthday that was a travel theme with a suitcase and a globe with flags coming out of all the countries that we were going to be going to.
So was that like your first time working with fondant?
Pretty much that was my first shot. I mean, there might have been a few smaller things from there, but that was my first real attempt at things. And it really took off. People loved it.
So before that, though, I mean, obviously you are an artist at heart. So what kinds of mediums had you been working with before you turned to cake?
You know, right before the cake thing happened, I was doing I was getting really into hyper-realism illustration, and I was selling some prints of my art for a while, or attempting to sell prints of my art for a while. And that's when I realized that it's not the most lucrative thing unless you're quite well known. And so making my artwork edible is really where I realized, hey, this actually sells because people can justify it.
Really? So people are more willing to invest in art as cake.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a purpose for it. You know, they're serving it to their guests. It's not just going on their wall, which I am an art collector, so I fully appreciate purchasing artwork, but it's you know, it's a luxury for sure, as is cake.
Yeah, cake is also a luxury item, especially artistic sculpted cake. So after that first cake, where did you go from there?
Well, so I posted that on social media, just like on, you know, my personal social media accounts. And I noticed that it was getting a lot of interest and people started asking me if they could purchase a cake from me or order a cake from me. And I was not, that was not at all something I even thought about doing. But, you know, I live in Des Moines, so I worked in insurance sales for a while, like everybody else has at one point or another. And it's never been for me. So I thought, why not give this a try? I get to explore my creative outlets. I get to enjoy the art of baking and give it a shot. And so I finally, like, I just had the courage to take on my first order. And then it went off. It just took off from there.
Well, and looking through pictures of your cakes, and I can kind of see your evolution as a baker. But you also had a nerd aesthetic, a little bit of, you know, Harry Potter, Star Wars. Hey, it takes one to know one.
Absolutely.
But you seem to love to work in the horror genre. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's from when I was a child or what it is, but my whole life I've always kind of gravitated towards the macabre, spooky, everything in life. It probably has a lot to do with the fact that I have an October birthday, to be completely honest, but Halloween is my favorite. I pretty much live Halloween. My home, my aesthetic, the way I look probably to a lot of people is very Halloween. And so, you know, I'm a huge fan of horror movies. My husband and I take my brother-in-law to horror conventions. And so it's just a natural draw for me to want to do those kind of things. Plus, there's a lot of realism involved in that. And I like challenging myself with creating things as realistic as possible. So it kind of comes together very organically for me.
Well, and the Des Moines Register did a photo spread on your home a few years ago.
Good job.
describe just a little bit for me what you've done at home, because I mean, you live Halloween year round.
Clearly. I really do. Yeah. It's amateur night for me. You know, it's like New Year's with everybody else. Yeah, I think it was kind of an explosion of having to live in apartments forever, not being able to hang anything on the walls or paint or anything. But when we got our house, I went kind of crazy with it. So like we have a Halloween bathroom that has my own stenciling and it's black and orange year round. And I'm neurotic. So I took all of our medications and like aspirin and ibuprofen and things like that and took them out of the bottles that they come in and put them in old apothecary jars so that they look the part. And I collect oddities. So I have some weird, you know, weird things in our home that we collect. And just every aspect of our house is very, I guess, macabre would be the best way to put it.
So I want to ask you about your murder pie, which mm-hmm. is the most recent creation that
yeah.
is getting a lot of attention.
It really is.
And no, you were inspired by another artist in creating
yep.
this pie. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So again, because I love horror and I love I've also been fascinated with special effects, makeup and special effects work. And in another life, maybe that's something I'll do, or who knows? Come visit me in a few years from now.
All right. So
there's an artist who is incredibly talented and does special effects props. And she created this prop pie, a people pie. And everyone and their brother tagged me in these posts and was sharing it with me and sending it to me. Some people even thinking that it was something that I had done. And when I realized that they were props and not actual pies, I knew that I had to take a chance and give it a shot and make my own edible version.
All right. So describe your edible murder pie, what this looks like.
It's pretty realistic. I really wanted to go for different textures with mine. So I like to give them, you know, warts and wrinkles and hairs coming out of moles and try to make it as creepy and realistic as possible. Give it a little translucence to the skin.
Right. And you've created, like, it looks like a patchwork of skin sewn together. It's a cherry pie.
It is.
So
the viral
filling.
One.
Right. Okay. So you've made several different versions of this, but you created like a patchwork
yeah.
of pie crust, and it has eyes, nose, mouth, and an extra eye. And some other things. So you said realistic, although I've never seen anything like this in real life. So what's your vision?
Take from multiple faces and you could put that together.
Okay. And I have to ask, so I mean, you're working with pie crust, which is it's legend for being finicky.
Yeah.
Did you have experience with pie crust? How did you?
I've played around with hand pies. I've noticed. I think that pie is getting ready to have its moment. Cake is really big right now, but pies are really taking off. And there's some incredibly talented pie artists that make me look, you know, completely ridiculous. However, I had a little experience with hand pies and didn't really consider how creating shapes and textures with pie crust would be so much different than working with cake. But because that's something that, you know, it bakes and it expands and all those things, you really have to map out what you're doing. Things have to be smaller, that you have to estimate how much they're going to expand to be the size that you want them once they come out of the oven. They have to be supported structurally so that they don't collapse while they're baking. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. Now, give me an idea of how many hours do you think you spent developing the murder pie?
You know, honestly, not that long. A traditional pie, for me, would take about an hour to do. This, with the face of the pie, add another hour, maybe an hour and a half on top of that. Honestly, my first shot was pretty good.
Really?
It came out pretty well. And I think that maybe because I'm with the cakes and with the things that I've done with cakes, I know that, you know, you really have to focus on that structuring at first. So, like, I created little silicone supports to go underneath where the nose would be so that while it bakes, it doesn't collapse. And then I can remove that when I take it out of the oven.
How do you remove that when you take it out of the oven?
I bake them separately. I bake the top of the pie separate from the pie itself, and then I bake it all together.
Oh, okay. All right. And there are other elements.
I'm giving away all my secrets.
Yeah, well, there are other elements to this face, like stitching. Uh-huh. There's charred hair, but everything is edible?
Everything's edible. I'm not going to tell you what the hair is made out of because it's the holy grail. Anybody who works in cake or realistic edible things, they know how challenging it is to find an edible medium for hair. And I'm sure I'm not the only person that's doing it, but if you order one of my pies, maybe I'll tell you.
So one of the other really tricky things about working in pie, uh-huh, it is not as shelf stable as cake. So how do you deal with that?
Well, so I'm working on that right now because normally it's not an issue for me because I just deliver locally. And once it's out of my hands, you know, that's your pie to deal with. But because it's become such, really has taken off so much online, people are wanting to order them and have them shipped. So we're doing we have a few guinea pigs that are willing to take a reduced price for seeing how it arrives in the mail and seeing how that works. But yeah, you have to, I mean, the packaging for shipping a pie is, it's quite an ordeal. It's not just a simple throw something in a box, you know, and I don't know if it'll work out, but it's something to try.
So what is your vision for the future? I mean, you've been getting a lot of attention. This is kind of a sideline for you that you fell into in some ways, just because you were sharing your creations and found that people wanted to pay for it. Do you make a living doing this?
I'm starting to.
Yeah.
It's getting to that point. As I know you mentioned at the Sugar Freak show that I just recently, like very recently, announced would be happening, is something that I'm really looking forward to. But that is an extremely talented cake artist that I know named Michelle Honeman, who lives in Portland, that I spent a week with collaborating on the kind of now infamous teeth cake that we did.
Right. It was inspired by a pile of dentures?
Yeah. We went to an oddities dealer.
Okay.
And he has a collection of dental models. So they start off, almost the size of the bottom, or the largest set he has is almost the size of a cake itself. So it's kind of a natural transition or natural choice.
Although your teeth do not look nearly as healthy as the dentures.
That would have been way too boring. Yeah, we had to creep them up a little bit. But so we're planning on starting we're merging together and joining our talents, and we are going to start with this Sugar Freak show, which is basically our goal is that we are going to travel to people. And the weirder, the stranger the cake requests that we get, the better, and the better chances are that we'll actually travel to you to do what it is that you're looking for.
So you get to decide where you go and what you make, but
yes,
they would pay for your travel expenses to come and create this?
You know, you'd be surprised.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah.
So... what would you say to people who are sitting at home watching those Food Network shows, looking at your Instagram? And I mean, I've looked at many, many cakes on Instagram and Pinterest. You can find a lot of inspiration out there. But for somebody who wants to try to create something like that, what would you say?
I would say you should just run the other direction and just let me take over. No, it's so much more work than I think people really understand. But it's also incredibly gratifying, especially when things turn out the way that you want them to. So my advice, if somebody wanted to do this crazy thing, would just be to find something that you enjoy and something that, speaks to you in one way or another, whether it's the actual, you know, the flavoring or the baking components, or whether it's the aesthetic of what you're doing. You have to love it. You have to be passionate about it. And that will help you have that drive to push through the hard stuff because it's challenging.
Do you ever have a hard time slicing into something after you've created it?
you know, actually, that's kind of my favorite part. especially because of the medium that I have. So many people, it's such a compliment to me when people say that it looks too disgusting to eat, or like, I could never eat that, because then that means I made sugar look hideous and I'm helping you. But so when I have that moment where I get to cut into the cake and they actually get to taste it and realize that there's no sacrifice in the flavor for the look of the cake, it's really rewarding for me. So that's actually one of my favorite things. Now, have I had some horror stories, you know, trying to create cakes? Yes. But I've made a lot of mistakes.
What was the hardest thing that you've ever created?
Let's
or your
see.
Best failure.
I'm going to tell you my best failure. I will do it. So I did a three-dimensional model train cake. And I was just way overambitious. I think I had a really successful cake before that, and I just got too big for my britches, because I wanted to have the train have steam coming out of it, and I did like an almond scented steam because the cake was almond flavored, and that required a lot of blueprints that I didn't have. So it's a lot of winging it and trying to come up with the best way to make that all work out and look right. And it just did not come together. It was a disaster. And I really tried to convince myself that it looked good. And some aspects of it were good, but for the most part, it was not my best work. I'm not proud of it.
So are you already planning for Halloween this year?
Oh, I mean, like I said, it's amateur night, so that's my life. I live Halloween day to day. I just expect to be really busy because people come to me for this kind of stuff.
And do you have a slate of ideas that you have for people, or do people come to you and say, hey, this is my idea, can you create it?
I would love if I was able to just throw out whatever I wanted. And sometimes I will say, you know, if anybody's looking for this kind of cake, I'm ready to take your order. But yeah, people come directly to me for the weirdest requests.
I sense that that's your favorite part.
Absolutely.
Andrew, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Charity.
Andrew Fuller, he's the man behind Guy Meets Cake and a new collaboration that's just starting called Sugar Freak Show. And you can see some of his amazing creations on our Twitter feed at Iowa Public Radio or at Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.